You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album.
Taking you back to the 90s.
Yes, it's
here
time
we go
for another episode of Two Guys,
One Album.
And tonight we have what is considered one of my favorite albums of all time, Blind Melon's self-titled album.
Yes.
My name is Michael Heidemann.
And my name is Paul Farvar.
That's a lie.
Reverse that.
But we do, this is an album that is legitimately one of my favorite albums of all time. And I'm so excited to talk about this album.
As far as the 90s go, this music video not only was played on repeat, but this band was on the tip of everyone's tongue, and I have never heard this album in full. In fact, I've probably only heard the songs on movies and,
right,
as aforementioned, music videos. So I'm excited to dive into Blind Melon's Blind Melon.
Yeah, self-titled album. Came out in 1992. This was their debut. This band could have done some amazing things if it weren't for the tragic death of Shannon Hoon, their lead singer. But this album put them on the map, and mostly thanks to MTV, because they weren't doing well until MTV started playing the famous B video.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that in a bit. Let's listen to the album. The first song on this album, it comes out to you strong. It's called Soak the Sin. It was never a hit on the song, but it's just such a cool way to start the album.
It's cool bass, it's great guitar parts, and his voice obviously is that high falsetto-y, you know,
right,
Axl Rose-y kind of 90s vibe that people were looking for in the 90s, which is an interesting start, and it definitely captured the audience that people were looking for back in that time frame. All the music kind of sounded the same in the 90s, and this is kind of right on track.
It's funny you say that, because the guy who produced this album, Rick Parashar, was also responsible for producing a lot of the Seattle bands. Rick Parashar's brother, obviously, was also in Soundgarden. He was Rick was also a member of Temple of the Dog. He helped produce some of the Pearl Jam songs. And I think Jeremy was one of the bigger ones that he did. Involved in so many productions of amazing, amazing albums from the 90s. And he was involved with this album too. And this song was amazing too. It wasn't even a hit, but it just, mm-hmm, it's one of those albums where you can almost listen the whole thing all the way through. There are some songs that are pretty shitty, I will say that. But
just a little background. It's the epitome of a debut album. I mean, this propelled them to stardom. They're an American rock band, Blind Melon. As we mentioned before, sorry, I was just reading a little bit about Shannon,
yeah,
when I was looking at that description. It was actually released on September 22nd, 1992, through Capitol Records. No Rain, as everyone knows, was, mm-hmm, the smash hit that came from this,
yeah,
album. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else they have going on,
yeah,
here.
Well, the second track on this album, which is we were just listening to Soak the Sin, which is just an intro song, kind of showcases all the talent that's in this band, which you heard and as Michael said, the bass and the guitar work, which is phenomenal and, mm-hmm, very underrated, and of course Shannon Hoon's amazing vocals. You did mention Axl Rose. He was actually friends with Axl Rose and actually sang on Don't Cry on their album, and he's featured in the video as well for Guns N' Roses. They're both
Shannon
from Indiana. Yeah,
they look exactly the same, might I just point
they
out.
They might be cousins, I don't know.
I'm looking at the
everyone often looks the same in Lafayette, Indiana.
It's kind of true.
They're probably just all somewhat related.
Just there was some kind of genome factor.
Oh yeah, looking at the picture, they do.
This is a great 90s just collage of photos. A lot of the albums from the 90s did the cover art of some art piece. Here it's the Bumblebee Girl, which was the, you know, when you think of Blind Melon, you see Bumblebee.
She's on the cover of the album, and she's also in the video. And we will talk about her as well. She has an interesting backstory as well.
I'm excited for that. But like I was mentioning, it's a collage of the photos of them on tour. It's a lot mm-hmm. of people from, I'm guessing a few Soundgarden people are on here. It looks like the bassist from Nirvana, but Let me just see this guy. It looks like Chris. Is that Chris Novoselic? Who's the bassist?
No,
from?
That's their. Oh, the, over
that's
here,
their
you
bassist
mean?
Though. That guy. Yeah.
No, that's the. Those are, they all kind of all. Wow. Everyone had long hair
those
back then.
Those 90s guys look exactly
God,
the
so
same.
So racist. Everybody from Seattle looks the same too. But they're actually not from Seattle.
They all love Starbucks.
The founding fathers are from the founding fathers. The founding members of
from
the
from Washington D.C.
are from.
I knew that one.
Mississippi. Oh, Mississippi and Shannon's from Indiana. But they all met in L.A. They formed in L.A. It was kind of one of those things where. In the 90s, people would go to L.A., and they still do, and form a band and hope to get signed. And in this case, it worked.
I feel like we've already said things that are going to piss people off about this album.
I am a big fan of them, and I saw them when they came back with the new version without Shannon Hoon, and it was kind of sad. But, you know, it's really a sad story because you have these guys who, you know, work together to make this great product, this great band, and it shows you, like, how one person, especially the key member, just can destroy everything you guys built.
Yeah, that's a good point because if you think about
it. It's like an improv team.
Yeah. It is because it's all about teamwork, and the more bands that I've interviewed here at WGN, mm-hmm. I see that a lot of it comes from the idea of family. If you don't have a good family base yeah. with your band, as with any with
right.
any family, it's just it kind of falls apart. Think yeah. about Bradley Knowles from Sublime, and other '90s bands that fell by the wayside when there was this huge drug epidemic that was going through
in the '90s.
Most of the bands that
Fatal Overdose, he had 95. But let's talk about the good, and let's talk about this
Bring
amazing album, which the next song on this is one of the more popular songs. It was a second video that was released after, of course, No Rain. This is, of course, the song Tones of Home. Even before his amazing voice comes in, you
yes.
have hooks up the butt in this song. I mean, that great guitar work, the licks, and the drum and bass are just so locked in. I mean, how can you not like this song?
It's amazing, and you can see what they're doing with their distortion too, because this is something that you don't really see. The fact that they can meld this great bluesy distortion with these poppy mm-hmm. great 90s hits makes it for a really amazing tribute to just music, because if you look at the lyrics, what would you do? What do you think they would say if I stood up and I walked away? Nobody here really understands me, and so I'll wave goodbye. I'm fine. This is the cool thing
okay.
that 90s yeah, yeah. artists used to do, where they'd put a really happy beat behind very sad lyrics.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that Shannon Hoon was able to really encapsulate this
yeah.
with this song.
No, that's a good point. That Tones of Home, you know, there's some tragic lyrics in a lot of their songs, but they just have these upbeat songs. Even No Rain, you know, it's kind of like this melancholy feel, but the songs are so catchy and upbeat in a way. I mean, the guitar is such it's a bright guitar sound,
mm-hmm.
and the harmonies are so good, and his voice is so sweet and catchy. You just forget that maybe he's talking about pain.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because yeah. Shannon Hoon had so much good things going for him.
Yeah.
He seemed like a cool guy, long hair, wore headbands.
Good,
you know,
hair.
The Blind Melon singer Shannon Hoon, as you mentioned before, he sang a lot of background vocals on mm-hmm. a number of hit songs, Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1, the Don't Cry song you
yeah.
mentioned. Huge hit in 1991. And Can I bring it down and get a little sad about how he died real quick?
Yeah.
Because I know that that's what our listeners are looking at for us to touch on. He actually died of a heart attack brought on by a cocaine overdose in 95. The band was on tour at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I remember when that happened. I was watching the MTV when it happened. Yeah.
He was found unconscious on the tour bus after a night of drinking and a drug binge, actually buried in Dayton, Indiana, which is just a few miles from where Paul and I are recording this right now. From the Blind Melon song Change is inscribed on his tombstone.
Yeah.
Wow. That's deep, man.
It's really, really sad.
But as you mentioned before, the band went on a little bit without him.
Mm-hmm.
In 2009, believe it or not, the Blind Melon guitarist Christopher Thorne, he joined a new band and kind of created it. Guess what band? They're very popular.
Let's see. Is it the band Fastball? Who is it?
I love Fastball so much.
We'll cover them soon.
AWOL Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
With songs like Sail and Not Your Fault, you can hear them all over your airwaves. So you can see this kind of music was going to last.
Yeah, and the thing is their follow-up album, they had bits and pieces of stuff that they were recording, and you could just see the greatness of stuff that was going to come later, and sadly never did. But this song shows, you know, we haven't talked about it, it's this great voice and the harmonies he created here with his own voice.
Yeah.
And this will take us right into the end of this song and the beginning of the next song, which is called I Wonder, which is an amazing song as well. You guys
great production on this album too, by the way. Who was the producer?
Rick Parashar.
Rick Parashar.
Rakesh Rick Parashar.
Great man.
Mm-hmm.
Did he know Ahmed Wallace?
No.
Are you sure?
Hill. Different guy.
Throwback to another episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen back to the
people
Lauryn
have to listen
episode.
To Lauryn Hill at that one. Mm-hmm. Right, the next song playing.
You know what? I know why.
You gotta push play.
I have to press play. So what is this song called again, Paul?
I Wonder. Just starts so mellow. Just him and his guitar. Well, it's not him. I don't know if it's him playing guitar or not. On the broadening skies, under
the every night I lie. So just in case you were wondering, Blind Melon was the band of Glenn Graham, drums and percussion, Brad Smith, bass, backing vocals, Shannon Hoon, just as the vocal guy, Christopher Thorne was guitar, and Roger Stevens, the second guitar player. Great, passionate band.
Yeah, this is just one of those songs where...
And his voice is so cool, because it's just like, it's high falsetto, but it backed with about 1,000 years of cigarette smoke. And you can hear it in his voice. Which,
yeah.
Which, I'm not using that as a diss
to
anybody.
No, not at all.
It just sounds so perfect.
It's Janis Joplin, the male version. Here comes the song. Wait, watch this. It's a throwback to Greta Van Fleet. They sound like that.
Right.
That's to all you Greta Van Fleet fans.
So maybe
it's the big 70s sound.
Maybe it's just the Blind Melon cover band, not a Led Zeppelin cover band. Talking about Greta again.
Yeah. It's just such a cool song. It's like almost like acid rock from the 70s here.
This is acid rock before it became a term. Like, this is really them getting into it. Because tell me if you do the same thing. When you're listening to an album that you really enjoy, like when I was listening to Greta Van Fleet or Lauryn Hill,
mm-hmm.
I think about them sitting in their garage or their basement or, you know, bedroom writing these albums and what's going through their head when they're writing these. And like, oh, hey, Graham. Or is there a guy named Graham? No, yeah, Glenn Graham. Or
you went by Graham. Or Grahams. Of course, if you're in a band that does drugs, you're going to go by Graham.
You're going to go by Graham, yeah. Christopher, hey, Roger, let's do this real quick, or add that quick little drum beat. It's really cool to see how this song comes together.
Yeah.
And with a vocalist like this, they were blessed.
You can't go wrong. If you have amazing vocalists, and I mean, here, this is such a cool part here. They just build it up here, and then it goes to double time. Check this out. I mean, how sweet is that build? And
it's classic blues. It's like the 90s version of CCR.
Yeah, or Allman Brothers, dare I say.
I'm going to stick with CCR.
I mean, that guitar work is so amazing. And I just love the sounds that he gets out of his guitar. And then they just bring it back. And it's not like too, like...
A lot of use of that, like, jet stream vocals where it goes in and out from, like, one ear to the other ear. Which I'm sure was a little bit more of a newer thing to do back in the 90s.
But here it is. You know, it's disciplined guitar parts. You know, it's a catchy, riffy guitar solo, but it's only, you know, for so many measures. And they go back into the vocals, and it's the discipline of the song.
A lot of use of different pedals, too, in this, you can tell. And I'm curious to see what kind of amps they played through for this album. If anybody has any info on that, write us at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com, because I'm finding that more and more curious, because it's so hard to create an album sound that I'd love to see what they're going on. Hey, but Paul, we're at 15 minutes. We're only three songs in.
I know. We gotta get this through. Let's go to the next song.
Songs.
Well, the other songs are shorter. Paper Scratcher is number four, which is one of my favorite songs on the album.
Got that classic country beat right there. Wow.
Now it just gets edgy and rocky.
Paul, do you remember a band called the Spin Doctors?
I do. I love the Spin Doctors.
I want to know, who came out first with their album, the Spin Doctors or Blind Melon?
Spin Doctors.
Really?
Way before, yeah. But, I mean, you can't compare that. Their songs are not the same. These songs last.
Something about 90s music makes me feel so good. It's all
This is such a great
music.
Song, but here, what's so great about this song is right here, it just changes. And then all of a sudden, right here, it just gets dark. Watch this. It's almost like, here he goes. Listen to what he does. And Fridays are always fresh days. Yeah. It's so cool. I just love the transition from this song. You know they're musicians. You could tell they're like awesome musicians. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's almost like prog rock of the 70s in a way where,
truly.
You know, they have all these little musical niches in the songs that make them amazing, but they appeal to the masses.
It's like a pop version of Rush almost.
I was just going to say the same thing. If Rush got their shit together and wrote popular songs, or that they wanted to. But that's a great song. The next song is also okay. Paper Scratcher is definitely one of the... This is one. Dear Old Dallet is the next song. I actually don't care for this song, but we'll play it for you guys and decide.
Dear Old Dad?
This is like the mother song. From the Police Synchronicity. Every album has one shitty song, and this is this one, in my opinion.
You know, why is that, Paul? Why does every album have one shitty song that no
you know
one can
what?
Take?
There's certain, you know, if you think about it, if you think of the band Extreme, More Than Words was their one song that didn't fit on anything, and they were like, let's just see what happens. They thought that was going to be the shitty song, and they were wrong. That was the only song that made it. Actually, they had Hole in My Heart, which is also pretty bad, but... More Than Words is a great song.
So
one day we'll have to do a one-hit wonders version.
I'd love to do that. So the band put out three albums, huh?
Well, this is their only one they put out with Shannon Hoon alive. They did the posthumous Soup, who's already dead. And they had a song on that went pretty well. And then Nico, which was like a collection of different parts of songs that they were creating at the time. And I think it had some phone messages that were really dark that were left, too.
So, do you want to know... I guess this is one of their shittier songs. And
yeah, we
I mean that with love. One of the founding members, lead guitarist Roger Stevens, Stevens. I think I've been saying Stevens this
whole
time.
That's all right.
It's Stevens.
We're nothing if we're not accurate on this podcast. We correct it, and we will have our corrections later.
Yes, and I'm sure that we're going to get a little bit of mail from that, too.
Yeah, you know.
It's like, you just kept saying Stevens.
We like it. We like it. Send us mail. If we will call ourselves out.
Yeah, I mean, we're genuine people.
Yeah, sometimes. So what about Stevens? What were you going to say?
Roger Stevens graduated from the University of Pennsylvania School of Law.
And another lawyer.
Exactly. Paul himself is a lawyer. Along with Stevens, he later became an employment lawyer in Philadelphia.
Huh.
Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Look,
so he's
him.
No longer in the new version of the band?
He is practicing slip and fall.
Slip and fall. No, employment law, which means if someone made you feel uncomfortable at work, women, give him a call.
Oh, really?
Hashtag me too. Yeah. All right, we got to go to that.
Guitar and me too?
Hey, man. I mean, if that's what he's doing.
You know what
Unless
he's probably
he's defending
saying?
People that
He's probably saying,
it.
You know who loves guitar solos? Me too. I love him.
Oh, boy, we're going to get some hate mail on that
okay.
one. All right.
Maybe
let's
I'll edit
go.
That out.
No, that's fine. We're just all in fun here. All right, the next song is called Change. This is a cool song, which, as you mentioned before, is on the... It's on his grave, but it's a very popular song.
This was on his gravestone.
Lyrics. But this is one of their more popular songs, and everyone who was learning guitar back at that time was learning it to this song.
Great harmonica solo right in the beginning.
And great guitar parts here. Such a beautiful song.
I don't feel the sun's coming out today. I'm staying in. It's gonna find another way. Yeah. As I sit here in this misery, I don't think I'll ever know, Lord, see the sun from here. Doors are made away.
Busting the mandolin, too. You are right. This is a musician's musician band.
Look at me and say,
watch what happens here, though. They just keep building this song, which is popular in the 90s. And it just turns into almost a different song.
That's okay. It's just a fit change.
I mean, how could you not like this song?
That great barreled kind of echo chamber percussion mixed with mandolin, a really Irish kind of feel for a band that isn't playing traditional music is a really cool thing, especially
yeah.
when he's writing from the soul here.
It's a very simplistic song, and when you compare it to the other songs, especially like the it's just a four beat, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Guitar parts are pretty much the bar chord, ADA, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's such a catchy song. Even without his voice, it's such a great song.
They're creating a new kind of folk music with this song. It's mm-hmm. it's very interesting to see because I would have loved to sit down with Shannon Hoon and see what kind of influences mm-hmm. he had. I'm sure it was all just Southern
Well, it's all the
Southern
bands.
Folk.
It was all of them. The two founding members are from Mississippi, so you know
they grew up
listening to Allman Brothers, CCR, like you
yeah.
said before. I mean, all that influence of that music style is in here. The 70s rock bands, I mean, it's all here.
And you got to understand, like, when you're living in Indiana and you're growing up with that kind of stuff, this is all you have. Mm-hmm. You don't have, like, Seattle punk, or you don't have New York, like, glam rock.
It wasn't
the
there
time.
Yet. When this came out, 92, I mean, he'd already moved to L.A. and Mississippi. Those guys were there in the late 80s. They saw the tail end of hair rock, mm-hmm. and these guys were probably real musicians, and they're like, shit, we gotta bring it back, the real stuff. And that's what they did.
Yeah, it's interesting to listen to this because, as I mentioned before, this is the first time I heard this album. But wow, they're really impressive.
This is an amazing song and this amazing album. But we got to keep going.
Let's make it moving.
We already did it. We're gonna go.
We don't want to do another 56-minute YouTube
shitstorm.
Introspective.
Yeah, this is the next song is of course.
Wait, pause real quick.
Yeah.
I gotta say, isn't it funny that we're going into YouTube and we were thinking, let's see what happens here. And that ended up being the longest podcast we
yeah,
did.
Yeah, we hadn't listened. Neither of us had listened to the new song, the new U2 album. You should go back and listen to that because we had some fun on that at the expense of the U2 album. But we're not doing that here.
No, we're not.
This next song is what Blind Melon is known for, of course. I mean,
right from the start, too.
That lick.
Something's different.
Yeah. A lot of people hate this song. A lot of people hate this song. It's a very.
Who
a lot of people hate this song. They hate the video. I know that there is. And actually, a lot of Blind Melon fans don't really like the song either. I actually am a huge Blind Melon fan, and I love this song. It's not my favorite Blind Melon song, but it is the song that brought me to them. I do remember listening to it on the radio, pulling over, and saying, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Just like
shitting. This is back in the 90s. I was like, this is the coolest guitar look, because I was playing guitar at the time, or I hadn't started. I was just about to start playing guitar. And I had to go to every record store to find it, because it was right before it got huge. I was in high school, and no one had it yet, because the MTV had just started playing it, and it was sold out everywhere. And I went to 5 different record stores, and there was no cell phones. So you had to like go to the store or call them, and they're like, "What?" And those dickhead guys who work at record stores.
I remember that. Yes,
I went to every
Such
store.
Such pretentious bitches.
And I remember I had to go to this weird store that was at behind Oakbrook Mall. It was like a electronics store, and I went and bought it, and it was like $17.99. It was so overpriced, but I was like, I have to have this album.
That was the normal price for CDs, though.
No. Back then, you can get them. It was like 92. You can get them for like $11.99 at the flip side or at Coconuts.
Yes, Coconuts. I wonder if that's still around, too.
But I remember.
Coconut Records.
Yeah, I had a friend who hated the song and hated the album, and I used to play the album for him in my car, and I had a CD changer, and it was like, I wouldn't tell him. It was Blind Melon because he hated this song. And then he listened to the song. It's like, oh, this is pretty good. I'm like, huh? I told you, it's Blind Melon. But I remember that was, and then I started liking all the other songs. You know, obviously you get introduced to them by their hit, but it's like probably their 4th or 5th best song on the album. But I mean, I'll never forget how happy I was when I saw that album. And
this is their 4th or 5th best song on the album?
In my opinion, yeah.
What radio station did you listen to when you first heard this?
It was on. Well, I saw it on MTV, and then I heard it on. It was on WXRT, 93.1.
Wow!
But then they started playing it on other channels too, and I forgot what was. It was used to be 103.5 The Blaze. Is what
okay.
It was.
Okay.
It was 103.5. I don't think.
Then it became Zone.
Yeah.
And then it became Kiss FM.
Yeah.
Yep.
Q101 was playing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how I was like, this is amazing. And then you see the video, and it's like, it's kind of weird. You see the B-girl, and it's kind of like a cool story, and it was like basically a story behind it.
Yeah.
And we have some fun facts about the B-girl. A lot of people say that they are the B-girl.
They do. They do.
There's only one.
One of the fun. We were talking about this before the podcast. There's a lot of people who either say that they were the B-girl, or they were the baby in the Nirvana, the naked baby in the Nirvana cover.
Also a lie. Unless your name is Heather Deloche.
Heather Deloche.
She is an American actress best known for her portrayal of the tap dancing B-girl in the 1992 music video, Blind Melon's No Rain. She also appeared in the medical drama ER twice.
No,
but,
twice.
Now she is a business owner and a CEO.
Of what?
It doesn't say.
Beekeeping USA. I knew it. I knew it.
Heather Loesch. So if you're out there, Heather, give us a call and tell us how it was working on that album.
Yeah.
Or working on that video, I should
send
say.
Send us an email at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com or make a comment section underneath our podcast right now.
Tell us all about it. Let's see. Oh, she's very pretty. She's actually,
well,
this could be, there's 2 Heather Loesches. Now we're in trouble.
Let me see here real quick.
This is the, that's the medical doctor one. I don't think that's her.
Okay. I mean, she's okay.
We're in so much trouble if we're not accurate here. Oh, here, we can see it.
There's a lot of Blind Melon fans out there right now. If you're going to diss on Heather Loesch.
We're not dissing on her. We're fans. I liked her and I liked the video. Heather Deloche. Heather Deloche is her name.
Heather Deloche.
I was looking up the wrong Heather. But anyway, this was the song that basically made everyone pay attention to them. It was their first hit released. everything like that.
But that was a smash hit music video too. And I miss the days when a music video could turn a band around, like the Crash Test Dummies with blew them out of the water.
She is a business owner of Sweet Bee Candy Stations and Event Planning in Lake Forest, California.
For a second, I thought you were going to say Lake Forest, Illinois.
She played in 1993 on ER, and she had a couple acting things. She was on Reno 911 in 2008.
Oh, nice.
But after that, that dried up, and she went up to this creating her business and using the name.
Do you, as Heather Deloche, mention that you were the Bee Girl?
Well, if her candy is called Sweet Bee Candy, I think she's using it.
She's owned it.
To her own advantage.
She's owned it.
But that was the song that put them on the map. And then there's...
I'm sorry, Paul.
No, that's it. What were you going to say? That we have so many more songs to get to, so we gotta rush it up.
But okay, I was going to say that was the first of the songs that was a different version of his voice. They used it through that echoey kind of swirling reverb can that
this was
that
very wasn't really bare boned. Yeah, I mean there wasn't even guitar and there wasn't like drums and bass until later in the song. And they did something a little different on that song. If you notice, a lot of songs in the 90s they would do the slow build and then like after the first chorus for the first verse, the chorus makes it big. But they played it out. They played two verse, chorus, and then there's the jam with the drum and bass that comes in. And then it's almost like a whole different setup. Again, going to the musician's band type feel. But
they brought the funk.
But they also brought the hits. I mean, they were the combination of pop and musicianship.
Bzzz.
Brings us to our next song, which is called Desert It. Here's your phaser sound effects, Michael.
I can tell. You know, before we got into this album, didn't realize there are many uses of the different pedals and kind of amplifiers, and you can tell this is a different guitar that they're using too.
Well, it might be the same guitar. Well, I'm sure they had different tones on the guitars, but this is heavy use of phaser.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, like I loved. When I played in bands, like the phaser effects, the chorus pedal, all that stuff was so big.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the way that they're using his voice in these songs too, because you can do so much with this great falsetto voice, which made like we mentioned before, Guns N' Roses such a phenomenal band. If you have a great male singer who can hit those high notes, you got it, man.
I mean, he's got such range, and that's why the other bands used him. I mean, here, this is his non-falsetto. It's still high. It's like another octave. It's just the range that he had. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's move on to the next song. That was Deserted. This is called Sleepy House Number 9, which is one of the best songs on the album too. It just starts really chill with the acid rock feel, but just takes you on a journey.
Paul just lit up a joint, by the way. So everyone knows who's listening right now.
This song reminds me of college. It was a house called the Yellow House where everyone would just go get high and drink.
The Sleepy House?
Mm-hmm. No, it's the Yellow House.
Oh, the Yellow House.
This is called Sleepy House, but he says Yellow House in here too. Or maybe he didn't.
Was he talking about your college in this song or something? Do you know Shannon Hoon
didn't go to University of Illinois. But I will say that this song, this album was heavily played throughout my college. I would just put it in and just study or drink or try to get girls to kiss me.
I like this song. It seems a bit sleepy, though.
It is sleepy, but it's an amazing song. But it's also one of my favorite songs on the album. Next song is called Holy Man. And again, they just go all over the place. And this is, again, they're just different feels.
There's that mandolin again.
Feel, but then it just goes a whole different watch what they do here.
Really cool bluegrass feel that I didn't expect I was going to find on this album.
Mm-hmm. typical 90s stuff starts so slow and all that, and you're like, where are they going with this? And they just slap you in the face right here.
There we go.
It's not even started. You have no idea. Still taking you on a journey right here. It's like a Tom Petty song from Wildflowers in a way. All of a sudden, it's like a hard rock song.
Do you think Incubus would be a band without listening to Blind Melon at least one time?
I guarantee you they've heard this song before they created their album. But yeah, jeez, man. There's a lot of hard rock influences here. But you know what? They make it more palatable. If you're not a hard rock guy, you would listen to this and you're like, well, it's just the harmonies are so sweet. Then they got that, like right here. I mean, it goes all over the place, and it's just such a great journey. The songs that they take you on these are amazing. But yeah, that was also one of my favorite songs. I remember, you know, you just put the album in from two and just go and you obviously you'd skip to your old dad,
but
you just can play it all the way through to the rest of the album, and then.
Did Blind Melon write all their same music? Their own music?
Yeah. These are all originals. As far as I know, unless you got some information here.
I thought I saw some new music.
They did a cover on a later album called The Pusher Man, where they did a cover of it. And that was released later after Shannon had passed away.
Yeah. All songs written and recorded by Blind Melon.
Yeah.
Okay, good for them. I was going to say, because I was looking at something online that said differently.
They stole all their music from Greta Van Fleet. Even though Greta Van Fleet wasn't awake yet. I'm sorry. We keep talking about Greta Van Fleet because their fans did not like that we compare them to Led Zeppelin. But you guys can listen to the album for yourself.
Yeah, give me a break. They don't sound like Led Zeppelin, my tush.
Your tush, you can say ass here. Okay, so the next song is called Seed to a Tree, number 11 on this amazing self-titled album. And again, here's the hard rock influences. Yeah, and the song also says, as I shit. That is correct.
10 points right there for Shannon Hoon.
See,
do you think he
wrote
this
song
as he was shitting.
They didn't have phones that you couldn't go through Facebook or social media on the shitter back then. They would write music. So that's the one downfall of social media. No lyrics are being written anymore. People are just liking things on Facebook.
First line of the song, seed to a tree. As I shit, I sit and wonder why my floor is so cold and my back is broken tired. Paul,
you couldn't read
it.
No, you haven't been there. Think about it. When was the last time you didn't have your phone in the bathroom? If you're in the, you know, you
I
either
read
had
books.
Some, or yeah, if you have a book, I sit sitting down. I don't care. I get more done that way.
What's the first website you look at when you're sitting on the pot?
I read too. If it's my own home, I read. And that's just what I do. But I don't.
It's
I don't
a great
really,
place to pen
like,
through a few chapters.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you're eating, but maybe you should try some more fiber.
Okay, I'm not going through chapters. Yeah. Let's say a few pages.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. But yeah, this is a song, Seed to a Tree.
Have you ever written a song while you were sitting?
No, I didn't. I all the songs I wrote when I was in my various bands were written when I was drunk coming home from the bars.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Those are my glory days. Yeah, pretty much. They were all sad. I didn't have any happy songs. I did have, you know what? In law school, I wrote a lot of songs while I was in class trying to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But no, otherwise, they weren't all sad. They just weren't like happy songs. They were like, why am I here?
Introspective. Okay. I feel that.
There was my friend Sam Jafari, shout out to him. He challenged me to write a song about a taxi ride. From Gamekeepers to his condo or his apartment when I was a freshman in college or sophomore in college. And I wrote a song and it became one of our hits for Shoeshine Boy called Taxi Driver.
Really?
That's right. That's the story.
You know, one of these days...
Which is now released on Fervor Records. I'm going to make an announcement on that pretty soon.
No way.
Got signed to a vintage label, yeah.
And Shoeshine Boy... is going to be on Fervor Records.
You can buy it on Spotify. Fervor has no relation to Farvar. Ironically, it looks like my name, but it's not. Yeah, I wish I owned the company. They do some great stuff.
So you know what this means? We got to do a Two Guys, One Album on Shoeshine Boy.
Oh, God. That's going to be fun to watch you shit on my dreams, my hopes and dreams from 1997. It's our 20-year anniversary that we just missed. And we were supposed to do a celebration of that, but our guitarist couldn't get his shit together. And by guitarist, that's me. Wait, I could not learn. So I had no calluses on my fingers. I'm like, let's do it on the 25th. 25th anniversary, guys.
Oh man, I was gonna say, because you own a production company
called Shoeshine Boy Productions, yeah.
And if you can't get booked on your own production company,
oh no, we got booked. We had a date set at Shuba's, I believe, one of the greatest venues in Chicago.
And it's a good venue.
We had a charity that we were gonna do it and promote the hell out of it, but we couldn't get our shit together.
Sorry,
and by
charity.
We, it's me. Yeah. Sorry, pause.
On those millions of dollars you're about to make.
Paul couldn't get his calluses on his fingers or remember 12 of the songs that he fucking wrote in 1997. Thanks, drugs. And alcohol. Captain Morgan's.
Just think about how many people are going to listen to this podcast and want tickets to that show now.
Well, it's not going to happen. But you can find us on Spotify now, Shoeshine Boy. And you guys, actually, all those people that are like, oh, you're shitting on bands, Paul, you're shitting on you too. We just listened to your album. And they're going to just go ape shit on ours. And guess what? You can do that. I don't care. As long as you listen to it, because that gets me money.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so we're almost done with this album. The next album is called Drive.
The next song
on this album is called Drive, which is an amazing song. But it's just a mellow, again, one of those things you can just chill out, light a bowl, and just drift
off into.
But it shows you in reality how diverse their song selection is. You know, they have these harder songs, but this one's just a mellow, just dreamy, psychedelic acid sound. I mean, it's just chill acoustic rock.
Heavy, heavy treble on all of these songs, too.
Yes.
Not a bass-friendly
good
band.
Good call. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, you know, every time I hear any of these songs start, I picture myself standing in a barn drinking some kind of craft beer from a plastic cup.
A red Solo cup?
No, clear.
Oh, okay.
Clear, surprisingly.
I just picture myself driving the car that I had in the 90s, just jamming to this, or on a road trip, or driving to or from Champaign.
Because
this was a heavy, heavy rotation in the 90s for me. Or at like my friends' parties, like we would just put it in. But wow. Although a lot of people had strong feelings about Blind Melon, I think.
You know, it's cool to see the way that he sings, because now in 2018, or whenever you're listening to this podcast, maybe in 2040, I don't know how popular this podcast will one day be.
Oh, yeah.
But think about 1993, 96?
92 is when this came out.
92. Think about how you would create a record, and we didn't have the kind of vocal presence and the vocal technology we have today, and the fact that he can blend these vocals with this amazing band and hit those notes precisely.
You got to give a lot of credit.
Give him some credit, yeah.
Yeah, not only to his to showcase his amazing vocals, but the production value on this is phenomenal. And that Rick Parashar, who did some fine, amazing work back at that time frame, was, I mean, he should get a lot of the credit. He, you know, soon people are going to start talking about him more, although they already do. But like, he was a founder of that sound, that 90s sound, which is timeless. In my opinion, best music came out from that time frame.
With that, Paul, are you ready for the last song on the album?
I wish it wasn't, because I can listen to this album forever. But time is the last song, so it sounds like we're out of time. So, and this is just an outro song, because it's got like a hidden. You'll see. You think it's over, and then all of a sudden, it's one of those Lauryn Hill trickier endings.
deluxe edition version.
We don't have the deluxe. We have the original CD, by the way, that I brought in. It's got all the dents, all the CD case. It's the original one that I bought from that store on Route 83 in Oak Brook.
It has your name on it, too.
It does. That's because my frat brothers wouldn't steal it from me. Why I'm sketching all the time. Years older, it's like an hour. Well, I think it's time. Yeah. So it just jams out, and then it fades out, and then it comes back. It's just one of those great songs, but it's...
gets you right in the face.
Yeah, it gets in your face. It's such a good song, such a good album. Again, when people ask me the top 20 albums of all time, top 10 albums maybe, this is one of them for me. Top 10 albums of all time, yeah. I mean, this album spoke to me at that time frame. You know, it encouraged me to start playing guitar, which I... immediately after this, I started playing guitar, and then I formed a band and changed my life. I would have been probably a senator right now in some podunk country town in southern Illinois somewhere.
Yeah.
Just miserable. Well, passing bills and legislation. But I found my true passion was music, which led me to comedy and whatever the hell I'm doing with my life right now.
I think you're doing pretty well so far, Paul.
Oh, thanks, Mike. And call my parents.
And with that, do you want to dive into our rating system for this new album?
Yes.
And not so new. It's from 1996.
They've already celebrated their 20-year anniversary, and it's very sad and tragic that Shannon Hoon was lost to us. And, you know, he was famous for his Woodstock appearance when they did the Woodstock in 1995, and that was kind of their last hoorah, and you could see how in bad shape he was. But our rating system is a little different
than
everybody else's. 11 is the most you can get, because on social media, when you get to 11, you no longer see the names. By the way, have they changed that? Maybe they did, and we're just not ready. And no one's called us out on that. By the way, if you want to call us out on anything, or if we've said anything wrong or something you like, it's twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe to us on SoundCloud, listen to us on the WGN page, and tell us what you think or what albums you want us to review.
Yeah, good, bad, ugly, or great.
Yeah.
We will take up all comments. In fact, we're going to do a comment show coming up very soon. So
very
keep your eyes peeled for that, and keep your ears to the floor for that one as well. And you're also able to comment on our comment section below after you listen to this podcast right here. So just send us a note there. But I think...
And by the way, we are keeping track of all the... We're getting a lot of people that have albums they want us to do. And we will... You know, we vote. We have a system down. And we have our higher-ups that we have to talk to get approval from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of people have been asking for, like, Dave Matthews, Alanis Morissette, all those things. Mm-hmm. We are working for you, but, you know, there's a system in place. We have to follow the rules. We are nothing if we are not rule-following.
Yeah, we have to go through all of Greta Van Fleet's fans and give them the thumbs up or thumbs down.
They hit a nerve with you, Michael, huh?
Yes, it did. But we're excited to be listening to you. And I think that, Paul, I think I'm going to give the first rating for tonight.
Ahead.
Usually you start it off.
No, you go. I definitely am encouraged. This is the first time you've heard this album.
Blind Melons. Blind Melon. The album cover is of a bumblebee girl. And this was the first time that I heard this album. I thought it was fantastic the way that they put the production levels together. Shannon Hoon's vocal falsetto is something of a masterpiece. I really enjoyed this album after hearing it for the first time. I'm going to give it 8 likes.
Yes.
8 solid likes.
That is amazing.
And I'm also going to give it, of course, the B emoji. I'm going to give it a nice smiley face with the rosy cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Just for the hell of it, the old rock on symbol. So 8 solid likes.
The hook 'em horns?
Yeah, the hook 'em horns one.
That makes sense. There is one. Okay.
There's one. Yeah. Okay. This was awesome. Shannon Hoon, you did a great job creating this album. Blind Melon, you went away too soon. Just like Bradley Knowles and all the great 90s bands, you should have been around for a little bit longer so we could hear what else you had. But thank you for giving us Blind Melon. And without further ado... here's Paul Farvar with his rating.
My rating is 10 likes, obviously. A fire sign. a top hat because they are the top album of all time, mm-hmm. one of the top ones. And for all you kids out there, the new emoji, mango, which is going to be the new
wow
eggplant.
You're going to call it right now that the melon, what is it again?
The mango.
The mango.
Melon.
I'm thinking blind melon is going to be the new eggplant.
I think it's going to be the new eggplant.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like kind of like a Hey You Up, but it's like a Hey, we should listen to this album. I don't know.
All right, that was a pretty high rating.
This is easily along with Lauryn Hill, which we've already done. This is mm-hmm. and August and Everything After. Mm-hmm. We're going through slowly but surely my top 10 albums of all time, and this one makes the cut.
I'm liking that. And by the way, congratulations to Adam Duritz for 20 years of great music
and great hair. But that's an episode of Two Guys,
One Album. And Paul, before we go, where can they find you?
You can find me on paulfcomedy.com or on Facebook, Instagram at Paul Farvar, common spelling, F-A-R-A-H-V-A-R.
And you can find me at michaelheideman.com. You can email me at, what email am I going to give here?
Two Guys, One Album.
Two Guys, One Album. And you can follow me on Facebook as well, Michael Heideman, common spelling, common German spelling. That's two N's. And I think that this was a really good episode.
Yeah. I hope you guys liked it, and please let us know what you think. And again, we love if you're listening to this and you hate this review. Give us input. We're going to talk to all you guys, and we're gonna mention them.
Person to person.
We're going to come to your house, and we're going to say, why didn't you like us?
And then we'll give you a hug afterwards because we're that kind of guys.
And we have candy. We usually bring Hi-Chews, which is my favorite candy.
We're nice. Anyway, this has been another great episode of Two Guys,
One Album.